Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV on a football Friday. Scott Abraham from ABC7 will join us coming up at 9 o'clock as we talk Commanders-Browns, but join us to give us the Cleveland perspective. You can listen to him on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. It's Daryl Ryder. What's up, Daryl?
How you guys doing?
Thanks for joining us, man. I'm looking at your Twitter. It's at RyderWrongFan. It did make me chuckle that you're doing the Bart Simpson thing where you're just repeating, I will not compare Baker Mayfield's stats to the Browns' offense. And you repeat it four times in the tweet. I'm sure you're not the only one. I'm sure a lot of fans in Cleveland are doing the same thing. But look, sometimes guys just need a change of scenery. It wasn't working there for Baker. It wasn't working for either party. So he had to depart, and he's resurrected his career in Tampa Bay. But I'm sure there's still some scars there on the fan base for not having him there.
Oh, every week that he goes out and he throws for three or more touchdowns, the wound gets a nice healthy dose of salt poured in it. But you're absolutely right. I think both sides in that instance a couple years ago needed a change of scenery. Baker Mayfield is at his best when he's the underdog. He wasn't the underdog with the Browns. He's the number one pick in the draft. You can't say he's an underdog there, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, he had a season derailed by injury, and then he comes back and just things aren't working out. The whole relationship with Odell Beckham Jr. blew up, and the GM had to deal with that, and Odell goes on and wins the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, Baker hadn't been playing all that great either. So he took advantage of his opportunity. He got knocked down a couple of pegs, as I like to say, being traded to Carolina. We all know what a dumpster fire that franchise is. Ends up in Los Angeles for a cup of coffee before the ultimate underdog, and that's where he had to go to Tampa Bay and replace the greatest to ever do it in Tom Brady. So, I get why Browns fans lean on that, especially considering how underwhelming Deshaun Watson has been since getting here. But the reality is I just don't feel like that the Baker Mayfield the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have right now is the same Baker Mayfield that would have been here with the Cleveland Browns had he.
Probably not, yeah. All right, so give us an update on the Deshaun Watson contract. I know it was all 5 years, 230, all coming to him. And, I know he's got all the off-the-field stuff going on, and there was hope by Browns fans that they could get rid of him and not have to pay him, but I don't think that's going to happen. So give us an update on that contract. When is it up? And do you think the team would just suck it up, draft somebody to sit behind Watson until his contract's up?
Well, I'll answer the second part first. Yes, I do think that if this season does not go well, and obviously at 1-3, and it's not going well, right, with the offense near the bottom of just about every ranking that matters, then yeah, I could see them drafting and developing someone behind Watson for when that contract expires. They've got two more years after this one on that deal. As you mentioned, it is fully guaranteed. As far as the off-the-field stuff, my understanding is that there are no more protections should he receive any further league discipline. So if he does get suspended again because of previous off-the-field behavior, then the Browns potentially, and the key word is potentially because I don't know all the fine print that's in that contract, and my understanding is there's a lot of fine print in that contract. Potentially maybe they could get out of it early. But again, the only way that gets triggered is if he does indeed receive more discipline from the league office. And obviously the league office currently is investigating the latest allegation made against him.
So, Daryl, I know a lot of things have happened, and it's been 4 years. But if you look at his last season with the Houston Texans, he was easily a top five quarterback in the league. When you watch him now, because we don't get to see him but highlights, when you watch him now, what's gone on? Is he lost athleticism? Is he inaccurate? Does he not read defenses well anymore? What's gone on with his game?
I think the internal clock between his years is still playing catch up because we're seeing glimpses of that athleticism, and frankly, we have to because the offensive line for the Browns right now is in shambles. But we're seeing that escapability that he had in Houston. Now, it was a big talking point a couple of weeks ago. He was asked about that, you know, scrambling and running, and could he be the spark in the running game? And that's when he had that quote about, I'm not a running back. They paid me to come here and throw the football and be a quarterback and things like that. But, you know, you guys see it down there with the youngster you have, Jaden Daniels, who's doing it with his feet. He's got over 200 yards rushing, but, you know, 4 rushing touchdowns. He's thrown for 3. You know, completing 82% of his passes. I think Browns fans would cut off their right arm, maybe their left one too. Maybe even give a leg if they could get a quarterback with a completion percentage above 65% at this point. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like that all this time off that he has had in these recent seasons has really messed up that timing clock in his head. And also, too, just it just feels like there's just a complete disconnection between him and some of his receivers at times.
Yeah. Obviously, Nick Chubb had that serious injury. I know he's throwing out those cryptic tweets, you know, how long do I have to wait? He has been, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he has been released from the IR. You could update us.
Practice.
You can update us on how much he's practicing. I would put money on it that he's not going to play here in Washington on Sunday. But eventually he's going to come back and make your team better. But give us an update on him.
Yeah, so he will not play on Sunday. If he does, it'll be the greatest miracle ever. He wasn't on IR. They put him on PUP.
PUP, I'm sorry.
So they opened that window. They opened the window. He began practicing on Wednesday. They have 21 days to actually activate him. And otherwise, then he does have to miss the season. He looks good in the 15, 20 minutes. As you know, we don't get to see a lot in practices these days from teams. But, you know, doing the drills and the individual periods that we do get to see, he looks great. I mean, just seeing number 24 on the field is great. But he looks as big as ever and as strong as ever and whatever. My only concern about him is he's had that left knee rebuilt now twice. And we're not talking like his AC, we're not talking a singular ligament tear that he's had a repair. I mean, he's had the ACL, the MCL, the meniscus, the capsule, like the whole knee in there has had to be rebuilt twice. But I'll say this, if there's anybody that can come back from this thing and be the player that he was before, it's Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, from my standpoint, he's the greatest running back the Browns have had since Jim Brown. He really is. He's just that good. So he's a couple of weeks away, though. So you guys can breathe easy in Washington. You don't have to deal with him on Sunday.
Nice. It'll be just Jerome Ford.
We're joined by Daryl Ryder, covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So how much of the offensive woes can be tied back to that offensive line for the Cleveland Browns? We know that Wills and Conklin, they've missed time at tackles. Conklin trying to come back from a major injury. And now the interior of your line is banged up too with Wyatt Teller. Give us the skinny on that offensive line heading into Sunday.
It's not great. I've seen chairs provide more resistance than some of these guys that have been out there filling in. Look, it's, Ethan Posick, their center's been banged up. He came back to practice yesterday, so hopefully he's able to go. Zach Zinter replaced Wyatt Teller. DeJuan Jones has really struggled on the right side of the line. I don't know why they just don't plan a tight end next to him on every single play. And then on the left side, it's been James Hudson filling in for Jed Wills. We've been on, I call it the Jack and Jed watch. We're in week 5 of the Jack and Jed watch. Jed came back for about a half of football and he got hurt again. So, they had a rash of injuries last year that required these guys to get surgery. That's Jack, Jed, and DeJuan Jones. They all had to have surgeries. Hopefully they got a group discount, but those injuries are still problematic for this team early in the season right now. And so it's been a bit of a makeshift offensive line. They got the rookie Zach Zinner. As I mentioned, he's in for Teller. If Posa can't go, then Nick Harris steps in. But yeah, I mean, really the only stable guy in that front five is who I believe to be a future Hall of Famer, Joel Bitonio at left guard. And they even had a game a couple weeks ago where it got so bad they ran out of bodies. They had to kick him out to left tackle.
So let's talk about your defense. Let's talk about Myles Garrett a little bit. What we can expect, how does the defense match up against a surprising Commanders offense? You guys haven't really played a murderer's row, but they're playing, you know, you guys aren't giving up a ton of points. And, you know, my producer tells me Myles Garrett's all banged up, and yet he still comes out there and produces.
Yeah, he's on a little bit of a pitch count right now. He's dealing with multiple injuries. He's got an issue with his feet that goes back to his childhood. And so that's kind of been acting up on him. He is sitting between one and two practices out per week to get treatment and just get him ready to at least be available in some capacity on Sundays. A couple weeks ago, he was basically on the field for third downs only. The good news there, at least from a Browns perspective, maybe not so much from a Commander's perspective, the workload is increasing for Miles. He had two sacks last week. He's in my view, I think, the most dominant pass rusher in the game because he is held literally on every single play, and he can't draw a flag to save his life. He gets what I like to call the LeBron James treatment. You can tackle him, and they're still not going to throw the flag. And believe me, teams have tackled him. There is film of this. And the Browns are a little frustrated by that, but obviously they can't speak publicly about it. They like how much money they make. They don't want to be making any donations to the Roger Goodell Retirement Fund. But, yeah, Garrett is a little banked up. The problem for the Browns defense right now, they were one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the NFL during the regular season last year, but they're not so much this year. It's been a tremendous drop-off. It's been tackling. That's their biggest problem. Also, too, guys in the secondary can't catch footballs. They need to spend some time with wide receivers. They dropped, I'd say, almost as many interceptions as Browns wide receivers have dropped Deshaun Watson passes. So tackling and creating turnovers, if they can turn those two things around Sunday at Washington, I think the Browns got a chance of upsetting the Commanders. But if they don't do those things, I think Jaden Daniels is going to continue doing what he's been doing, and that's just carving people up.
Daryl, good news for the Browns. At least their schedule over the next month is soft and squishy. I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay. It was soft and squishy to start the season, too. It's gone extremely well, let me tell you.
They're at the Commanders this weekend. Then they have to go back to the Eagles coming off a bye next weekend. And then home dates against the Bengals and the Ravens, both in division. So the next month is challenging for the Browns, to say the least.
Yeah, well, if the Browns come home from Washington 1-4, Andrew Berry can begin the fire sale. There's no coming back from that when I look at the schedule. Because you mentioned that stretch. That's not even the stretch I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the stretch coming out of the bye, starting with the Saints, who, by the way, are, I think, a lot better than a lot of teams thought they would be. You got Pittsburgh in there twice. The Chiefs come to town. They got to deal with the Bengals. Miami, we'll see if Tua is available for that. And then, of course, they have to end their season with the Ravens. The moral of the story is the playoff hopes that Browns fans had for this particular football team this year and getting back. We are a month into the season, and after every game, we're checking where the Browns would be drafted. So good times are here again in Cleveland.
We're familiar with that tune. We've played that tune many times.
Yeah. Oh, we are so back in Cleveland. The publications are mocking quarterbacks to the Browns. The fans are blaming the negative media for the team not doing well on the field. I mean, we are just so back in Cleveland, Ohio when it comes to Browns football. You know, the whole playoff thing, the Joe Flacco thing, the offense looking like a legit NFL offense with Joe Flacco, it was nice while it lasted.
Jeez. Well, I think it's going to continue on Sunday. I think Washington gets the win. I don't know what you're picking, but give us a pick. Give us a prediction on the game.
I do think that the Commanders are going to win. The only way the Commanders don't win is if Jaden Daniels finally starts to look like the rookie quarterback that he is. But, I've seen what this defense has done. Really, to me, the secret to him, they got to find a way to knock this kid off schedule. The problem is he gets the ball out quickly. He doesn't hang on to it like most rookies do. And he's willing to take the checkdowns and the dink and dunk that whatever the defense gives him. So if they can get Jaden out of his rhythm in that fashion, Brown's got a shot. And if there's one guy to do it or be able to do it, it is Myles Garrett. But You guys should be really happy down there in Washington. It looks like you guys finally have a franchise quarterback. Meanwhile, the Browns
still
waiting for the franchise quarterback to prove himself to be a franchise.
Well, you only got two more years of that nonsense, and then maybe one of those guys will be drafted like in the next couple of years, and you can start looking forward to that.
They drafted quarterbacks for 30 years here.
Yeah,
we've been there.
They're going to be able to draft a quarterback.
You're probably right.
We've been there. It's hard.
All right, Daryl, appreciate the time.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks,
Daryl
man.
Daryl Ryder covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. All right, Metallica fans, going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Mm-hmm. Actually, we have two pair.
Ooh, very good.
Two pair to give away. Cakes gives Valdez the tunes. He puts them together. Mm-hmm. You name the tune. You can win the Metallica tickets. We'll do that next. So call in now at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. That's next here on the Junkies.